L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hour number two, chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Reading these text messages, I'm choked up already.
I got to stop reading these. My goodness, you guys are fantastic.
And some I can't read on the air, but Elliot, I'm sorry, you have to be censored. I can't. I laughed, but I can't read that on
the air. And the question is, we want to know, where did Travis Kelce take Taylor Swift to dinner last night? And the best, most creative response gets tickets to see Shinedown October 3rd at First Bank Amphitheater.
Yes, so looking forward to reading some of these as we go along. Continuing to discuss the Titans, their loss yesterday, 27-3 to the Cleveland Browns. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts, and I know he won't hold back on that. But just looking at a couple of these text messages on the Taylor Swift question, 5282 says, In-N-Out Burger? Question mark. It's a good place. West of Clarksville, Bristol. I won't read it. I mean, I gotta tread lightly.
I'm gonna let you. You're the boss. You handle all that, man. Oh my gosh.
Mitchell was creative with some song titles. Love Roller Coaster being one of them, and then Dinner at Shake It Off Steakhouse. Okay, nice work there, working in the song lyrics. 1483 says Steak and Shake It Off. Okay,
that's not good. Bad.
I like that. 1936 says they definitely went to Mama Kelce's house and had spaghetti. She and Mama Kelce were like hitting it off.
That's it. They're tight.
And which, hey, that's, you got to get right with Mama.
That's right.
That is for sure. Kevin from Union City, my next breakup song, Bar and Grill.
Good one.
That's pretty good.
They're just rolling in, man. They're just like a tidal wave.
9585, he took her to the campground restaurant so she could reignite her campfire sessions. Oh, man.
Oh, my.
Y'all are crazy this morning, but we've obviously reacted a lot to the Titans. I wish like there was a Titan that was dating Taylor Swift, because that would just make today so much easier.
Can you read Wes's one he just sent in? Wes from Hermitage. We're in the next hour is gonna read, where did Travis Kelce take her to dinner?
I swear I saw them at the Hard Rock Cafe. No.
Oh, man. Yeah, that wouldn't that be just be chaos? I mean, did you see they showed a picture of fans waiting down in the concourse to come out of Travis Kelce's suite to catch a glimpse of Taylor Swift? I mean, there were thousands in the concourse waiting once word got out that she was there. It's amazing.
I can't read some of these. Do you have the Belichick? This was Bill. Was this yesterday?
I believe it yesterday or this morning, one or the other.
This was Bill Belichick on this whole thing.
Taylor Swift was in attendance to watch Travis Kelce's game with his mom in the box. Seems like they may be the new it couple. Where do you fall on that? Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, power couple in the NFL.
Well, I would say that Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be the biggest.
Nailed it.
Oh,
yep.
Pretty big.
Yeah. Loving him was red.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Is that that was Belichick?
Gosh, he actually had a sense of humor and commented on that?
Are you sure that wasn't like an impression?
It said the Greg Hill Show on Twitter. Yeah, it was all over their social media.
Okay.
And it made it on SportsCenter as well.
Wow. Okay. That is.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm surprised you didn't say we're on to whoever, you know.
Mahomes, Aaron Andrews was asking Mahomes about it. Like, did you feel like you had to get him in the end zone because she was
really
here? Oh, yeah. I'll see if I can
because she was there.
Yeah, Aaron Andrews in the postgame interview which, I mean, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. You know, basically they're up 30-0 at that point,
right.
And he gets hurt, and I'm like, why the hell is he still in the game?
Yeah.
But she's like, did you feel any extra pressure from the Swifties? And he started laughing because she was here watching Travis that you had to get him in the end zone. And he's like, yeah, you know, I kind of thought that maybe I had to get the ball to him, you know, so he could show off a little bit, but he's doing just fine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Basically. All right, so now the question is, diehard Chiefs fans are saying, please don't let her be Yoko Ono.
Oh, I know.
Please don't let Travis, you know, take away from what he has to do on the field and let it happen with be the Yoko Ono for the Chiefs. So
I'm scared to read all these.
Oh, my God. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 more that have come in the last minute.
See, this is like where as a program director that is like, okay, we got to talk about the Titans and, you know, all that stuff. And yeah. I'm like, I would rather talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce than a terrible football game.
It's a local connection.
It is.
She's from here.
And we discovered one time her father was a loyal listener.
He was.
He
tweeted out a picture of stuck in Nashville traffic, and the number one preset was 102.5 The Game. I was like, all right, Scott, how are you, buddy? Call in. Let's talk about your future son-in-law and what's going on there.
I was hoping that would be me.
There are some of these. If we were on satellite radio, we could read because you guys are simply fantastic with some of these, but we can't. But we'll pick a winner out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a restaurant that has your name in it, a certain shack that people are now making jokes with.
Oh, man.
And then somebody said In-N-Out Burger has to win. That was funny. I'll have to read these during the break so I can continue to have a job. Because, you know, we had a moment like that about some SNL skits one time.
All right, so read this one from Allie in Bellevue, because she makes some salient points here.
Taylor is never seen unless she wants to be seen. Kelce has a new podcast and is on every other commercial. They rode around in a convertible after the game. They're both on brand-building benders. That's not a bad point.
Wait, he rode around in a convertible after the
game? That's awesome.
That guy's living his best life. But, Allie, thank you for the text. That's a great point.
It's a very good point. Look, whatever they're doing is their business, but she's right. They're wanting to be seen publicly together.
Oh, yeah.
So it is – and his fame is at the all-time high right now. He's won 2 Super Bowls, but, you know, he's the class clown of the Chiefs, you know. He's doing the State Farm commercials with Mahomes and Andy
Reid.
That is Reed.
Pretty funny. Mahomes, Mahato.
Mahato, yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, another question we could have come up with, where does she take him to dinner if they come to Nashville?
We could take suggestions.
We could do this all day.
We could definitely give them suggestions. All right, keep those coming. Again, Shinedown tickets on the line. Most creative, semi-clean answer. Let's toe the line a little bit. Where did Travis Kelce take Taylor Swift to dinner last night after the Chiefs win? We'll also continue to react to the Titans' loss. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
From a Frank play calling perspective, how much did what they were able to do up front limit what you guys were able to do as far as play calling?
Well, I think that those things change. You know, I mean, we're trying to get some bodies on them, and you know, the pressure. You know, we got to be able to block pressure, and I don't think they're. You know, they got to be able to make adjustments and understand that this is how they're going to play us. I don't think it was any shock coming in, but you know, we'll get back to work and we'll figure out what we need to do and how we need to do it.
Titans got to shake it off after the loss yesterday, 27-3. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jonathan Hutton going to join us at 10:30 here on the program. And taking your answers on the text line at 615-737-1025, where did Travis Kelce take Taylor Swift? She's on our TV right now. To dinner after the game yesterday. Taylor Swift in Kansas City with Travis Kelce's mom in the suite having a time. Where do they go to dinner? Some of these I cannot read.
They're fantastic. You guys are great. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, even the ones I can't read on the air, you're still in contention for Shinedown tickets. So
yeah, we'll, you are.
Yeah, well, I think there's a leader in the clubhouse right now.
Well, going back to the Titans real quick, do you burn that tape? I mean, what can you learn from yesterday?
I don't know, but if, like, you know, Vrabel's going to speak today at 11:45, and
what's the pissy factor today with him?
Oh, I think like a 9.
I think he'll be fine. I think he knows they got his butt kicked. They lost in every avenue and facet of the game. I think he'll be fine.
But Chip in Mount Juliet says, Vrabel, after losing 9 of 10 games, always has the same, got to play better, got to coach better. His act is worn thin. He's built these teams over the years, which include the coaches. I agree with, I don't want to hear, we got to play better, got to coach better.
Right.
Like that, like, we know that. We know you do. And
but that's
so
every coach, every interview now has got to get back to
not all of them. I mean, you know, I think some are going to tell you a little more than others. And I mean, I know he's not going to change to this point, but it's just like, you know, and I was listening to the discussion on Robbie and Rex Road this morning of, you know, the soft Nashville media and, like, you know, what other questions do you want him to ask? I mean, I do think the right questions get asked. It's how he answers them. It's you don't like the answer. You want to say the media is soft for not asking the right questions. They are asking the right questions. You just don't like the answer.
Correct. Ooh, look at you, yeah.
And so, you know, and look, there have been times where, you know, if I'm here and we're doing the show and we're running a press conference, I'm like, why aren't they asking about this? Why aren't they, you know, sometimes you miss things. But I think overall it's just because.
So what would you ask today if you went over there? One question.
Now that you've watched the film, what did you see from the protection that you had and what they were doing defensively, and how can you adjust from that?
Okay.
Like now he's had a chance to watch it, and that's why you do the Monday press conference, because that gives him a chance to watch the film. I want to hear more of that. Would you consider making, you know, if Peter is available this week, what adjustments would you consider making on the offensive line? Now, he's not going to tell you who he's going to take out, but ask the question.
So I would say, Mike, you spent 14 years in the National Football League. Was yesterday the worst offensive line you've ever seen play?
I would love for that question to be asked.
But then go over there 11:45 today.
I got a pred game. I have suit duties.
I'd like to know. I mean, because how do you defend that offensive line yesterday? How in the world do you defend that? That's a National Football League team offensive line. How do you defend that? You can't.
1277 says, missed opportunity to say we're on to Cincinnati with each answer.
Like, oh, that's great.
If he did that, I would be like semi-pissed off and semi-like laughing at the same time.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I know, you know, we're on to Cincinnati.
Are the texts still rolling in?
They are.
You know, we had planned to give out game balls, rotten eggs. You know, who to blame for the Titans' loss.
This is more fun.
And this just comes up. And the text line just exploded with all these.
Would you consider moving Peter Skoronski to left tackle?
No.
You keep him at guard?
Yeah.
Do you think that helps Dillard if he's back at guard? Because Raiden's is terrible.
He is terrible. No, I would think when Petit Frere comes back, he's had some experience last year playing at the left tackle position. Maybe move. Well, I'll put him at right tackle, keep Dillard there, I guess. I don't know. Get him help.
Maybe look at Hubbard. I mean, I think Hubbard has been pretty good.
You think he walks in the locker room, they're like, oh, Mother Hubbard. By the way, my favorite line of Braves baseball player of all time, besides Dale Murphy, is Glenn Hubbard.
Yeah?
He's 5'7". His glove was bigger than him.
He was one of the base coaches for a while. First base, maybe.
I think he went to Oakland, too. But, yeah, oh, Mother Hubbard.
Yeah. I don't think they say that. Oh, boy. All right. We got a phone call about the Kelce Swift dinner.
Okay.
615-737-1025.
Get ready, Dr. Crane, to hit that button.
Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome in.
Hello. Thank you, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
What I heard was that Travis took Taylor to the world-famous Windy City in Chicago, Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. I don't know if they foot massaging and making plays with the same people, but that's what I heard. They took them.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Sounds like Steve's there right now.
I know.
Oh man.
Gary says, you reckon he was the reason for the teardrops on her guitar last night? The song titles are great.
How's that weather today out here?
It's around 72 degrees. Yeah, I got it partly cloudy.
We got a Katie Morgan update on the weather for us right now or anything? Good Lord. But the driving around in a convertible after the game is just, that's something else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, they want to be seen, which is actually, as Allie pointed out, like, if she wants to be seen, that she is seen when she wants to be.
Yeah.
I think that's very interesting.
Wow. I mean, he's dating a girl that's worth $1 billion. She could carry around a purse with $100 million and lose it and not bat an eye.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I find $8 on my jeans. I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's a good day. It's a great day.
Yeah. Somebody else pointed out earlier of, why is he paying for dinner? She's the breadwinner.
Right?
I mean.
Exactly.
You know, there's but some truth to that.
Where would she take him here in Nashville, though? Somewhere in Hendersonville? Robbie Stanley, where are you? Weigh in on this.
Ooh, good question. Because I'm not familiar with Hendersonville, so I don't know, like, good places out there.
There's an Applebee's.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong there.
Oh, Charlie's.
Chili's.
Sing that jingle that's on our air that I sing all day long.
It works.
It does work.
It works. Wes in Clarksville, we need linemen that can hold their own. Our offense is bad because our tight ends have to stay and block because the O-line can't.
But you knew this.
A lot of truth to that.
But they knew this going into camp. I mean, there were questions all the time that Vrabel got about how bad this offensive line was. Just, you know, they tried to patch a hole and just not get it done. Not even with duct tape, because duct tape works. This stuff, you can't. There's no duct tape on that Titans team.
No. No, that, I mean, I feel like it's – I feel like the thing that we discuss over and over again with the Titans, and for a long time it was pass rush. Oh, they got to find pass rush. Well, they have that now. You know, I think the front still pretty good. The defense didn't have a great day yesterday, but I think they battled long enough to keep them in the game and then just got exhausted probably. But then we're always talking about offensive line and wide receivers, that they can't find offensive line and wide receivers. Why are we still having that discussion?
True.
Why can't they figure it out?
It's as bad as it was in 2013, 2014.
It's been the same bleeping thing every year.
Right.
And like, John Robinson gets here and he drafts Jack Conklin, and that was a great pick, and then he lets him go, which I didn't understand that then. Like, if you know the organization has struggled at offensive line basically since Floyd left, then why not sign a guy and pay him and keep him as a pillar on your offensive line?
I totally agree.
They
should get Zach Pilder back.
They should get Zach Pilder. They had I think he's having a good retirement, though.
He's having a great retirement.
But, I mean, think about, they had Roos and Big Country David Stewart as the bookends for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know,
they had Hopkins and Runyon for a while.
Hopkins and Runyon, and then Hopkins and Pillar.
Yep.
No,
I'm talking on the tackle side.
Well, who took over for Runyon?
Oh, my gosh. Fred Miller.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Fred.
False start Fred.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, you say what you want about Fred Miller. He was okay.
Yeah.
But Roos and Stewart, you had
LaJuan and Conklin.
Then I'm thinking in center, interior, who was it? Justin Hartwig. They had Justin Hartwig for a while. He went to the Steelers, and then they got Mawai. Had Mawai for a few years.
Don't forget Gennaro DiNapoli.
Who?
He was, yeah, exactly. He was on that 0-2 team, I think, at center.
Yeah, Eugene Amano.
Yep,
had him for a long time.
It's some talent. Yeah, they have, like, no talent now.
Find guys that you can keep for 6-7 years. I mean, you had LaJuan, but and you know, I know LaJuan the last few years wasn't great because of the injury and everything, and you can say what you want about that, but I just don't understand why they're, and I guess you can say that they tried, but they missed terribly.
Why are the Vikings continuously so bad? I mean, they break your heart.
Because I think Kirk Cousins is overrated.
Awful. They're 0-3. Awful. I mean, they should start planning. And the Bears, the Vikings, and the Panthers should just say, all right, we're planning for 2024.
Alex from Montreal says, the Titans have an outdated organizational mentality. It's hard to keep watching this. You agree with that?
I mean, there's a lot of Bud Adams philosophy still around over there, I guess.
Yeah. They patched it with wish.com Flex Seal.
But look at the, I mean, the Dolphins, look what happened. They go out and get a head coach who loves to put up points and play the ball differently and gets out and go gets, you know, they paid a lot for Tyreek Hill, and but they're doing it. Look at the results they've got now.
I mean, they got Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. They got a dynamic quarterback in Tua. Now it's, can you keep him healthy? The defense is better. I mean, and think about this. They're doing this without Jalen Ramsey right now. You get Ramsey back in the secondary, like, that's going to make that even better.
And meanwhile, the Titans' first-round draft picks in this decade are Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks, and Peter Skoronski. Still, nobody's got to that level of being a first round. Like, that's –
Treylon Burks yesterday, like, had a long catch that he should have made, and he didn't.
Yep.
You know? And just – I feel like that right now continues to be the narrative with him of, like, he's almost. But you need him to actually be there. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, get his thoughts. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We'll do that here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Titans fall yesterday 27-3 in Cleveland. 20 yards rushing for Derrick Henry on 11 carries. We say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, not a good day for the Titans, but how are you?
Hi, I am great. I am much better than the Tennessee Titans today. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Want to start with the run game that they just could not establish at all, whether it was Derrick Henry or Tajay Spears. They had 26 yards total between the two of them. We know the offensive line is to blame for a lot of things with the offense yesterday, but we've also seen Derrick Henry cover for that at times. He couldn't do it yesterday.
No, I mean, no one could do it yesterday. The offensive line couldn't do it yesterday. But this is, look, Mike Vrabel went on Titans radio postgame yesterday and said that this coming week would be a lot, it would tell a lot about the culture of the team. And culture is one thing. I don't doubt Vrabel and the culture that he has installed since he came here in 2018. But the culture is Derrick Henry. It is King Henry. It is offensive line play. It is trench warfare. And they were atrocious at that. And it's not just culture. This, the self-inflicted penalties, problems, issues, all of that, and then paired with the fact that they can't run the football, that's a trend. And it's now, you know, you're staring down 1-4 or 1-3, excuse me, after week 4, where you haven't faced the top players on these teams other than Justin Herbert, but you didn't face Eckler, you didn't face you didn't have to face Kamara, and yesterday no Nick Chubb and potentially no Joe Burrow. I mean, it's not good, and it's not good because they're beating themselves and they can't be who their identity is. It's baffling to see how bad they were yesterday. Just when we think that we're starting to see an upward trajectory, albeit, you know, not a steep rise, but one that you can point to and say, okay, this is the team that we thought they were putting together, the balanced run game a week ago, paired with the play action. Nothing was going right. And just to put this in perspective, Chase, the Titans threw three quarters yesterday. This is how bad the identity and culture of, if you're describing a Vrabel team, it's the physicality. They had 21 plays through three quarters of no gain or negative yards on offense. That is pathetic.
How much do you think it killed any momentum that they may or may not have had by not coming away with points to close out the first half?
That was huge. I mean, they had the two drives right there. They had first and 10 at, you know, scoreable range and didn't come away with anything. So that's it. I mean, but again, just the awareness and the fact that they I mean, they went max protect on a play where they were trying to throw and get some points, and they still gave up a sack. I mean, it was that's how bad things. It was so bad that after the game, Myles Garrett is telling Andre Dillard giving him tips and advice and insights on how he beat him, drummed him throughout the game. I mean, it's just
wow.
It's not good. It's not good. And it was just look, I'm sitting there watching this and I'm thinking back to the days of being on the sideline and watching the Ken Wisenhunt era. That's how bad that offensive line was yesterday. There were no answers. And, you know, moving forward, this is also like Andre Diller was brought in by this group, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. You know, he's signed. That's one of those deals where you've got to have some pieces that you can count on. And I thought, yesterday was what we had feared could happen with this offensive line. Didn't say would, could. And we've seen the first two games where the offensive line has been adequate. Not great, adequate. They went from adequate to atrocious yesterday.
They did. We're joined now by our good buddy Jonathan Hutton. And Jonathan, you know, watching that game, you brought up a good point, which I was going to say. This felt like 2014, 15, 13, right in there, where there's just like nothing good to look at. And I mean, how did they get back to this point again? It's just kind of, well, it boggles your mind.
Joe, it's it reminds me of that little span. Thank God it was a short one. It reminds me of that span because of how many whiffs there were at the line of scrimmage yesterday. Like there was confusion. It's like guys didn't know assignments. And, you know, so many just clean rushes straight to Henry just getting just drilled at the line of scrimmage. Same for Tannehill. I mean, they're just not good. And this is one that you have to, you know, move on from. You try to move forward and put it behind you, and they'll say all the right things, and they're not going to point fingers, and they're going to fix the correctable issues. We've been there. We've heard this. Like, time to fix it, because if you're going to have one foot in and one foot out, like we felt like they did this offseason, okay, what are they doing? Are they planning for the future? Are they trying to win now? Are they going for it again? What is this team? How do you define what they're doing in 2023? Well, it's time for them to figure that out. Otherwise, we kind of know that whatever they've done or whatever they were trying to do is not going to work out all that well, despite a bad division.
With all the losses at the end of last year, starting out as bad as they have this year, some have weighed in this morning, Jonathan, that the seat needs to start getting warm for Mr. Vrabel. You agree?
Look, I picked the hell out of Mike Vrabel, just like I did John Robinson. But if you'll fire John Robinson last year, I can't sit here and say that Amy Adams Strunk wouldn't do the same with Mike Vrabel. All bets are off based on what we saw last year in December the 7th or 6th or whatever it was. First weekend in December a year ago, that Tuesday, I was surprised, because you knew how good Philadelphia was a year ago with AJ. You knew how bad situations were here. You knew how bad the depth was. And when they made that move, not to rehash a year ago, when you made that move, you threw in the towel there, because you're signaling we're playing for the off season. You get to the off season, and now we see this start, and we see this offensive line, and it's more of the same, at least from yesterday's perspective. So they've got to find some answers. And normally, this is why I'm saying, like, I respect Vrabel does a great job of using what he has and gets the most out of it, except on the offensive line. And we've got to see that turn where we figure out the depth and how they piecemeal something together with what they have, because it was their decision to go with backups on good offensive lines from across the league that were ready for an opportunity. And so far, you know, we're still trying to search for answers after a preseason and a training camp where they knew that they had these questions, and they felt like they could still run the football. And so far, they're not doing that.
So let's say that they get to week 7 in the bye week after London, and they're 1-5 or they're 2-4, which there's a very good chance that could be the case. Do you think organizationally they look at that point as, let's, you know, you were kind of touching on this, but let's look at the future and then maybe start making calls if there are teams out there interested in a Derrick Henry, in Ryan Tannehill, in some of these, you know, Kevin Byard veteran players? and maybe look at the potential of having that number one overall pick, which I'm not saying you would take Caleb Williams. Maybe you would, but you could get a haul for that if it falls in your lap. So do you think that that conversation could start at the bye week if all those things happen?
No, I mean, Chase, I don't see, and this is why I keep pointing back to the offseason and kind of the structure and mindset of why it was like half future. This is the second straight year they've drafted a backup running back and a backup quarterback in the middle, the second and third rounds. That's where I'm pointing to, is where they tried to help the pass game by drafting a running back, and we barely see him get the football. That's the confusion there. But they also brought back Tannehill and Henry, and they give Simmons the extension as they should have. There are signs to point to a competitive football team. I don't see Mike Vrabel doing that or signing up for that whatsoever, because he didn't sign up for the rebuild in the offseason. And Vrabel's making a lot of decisions. We know he has more power. So I don't think we see that. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are even beating the Dallas Cowboys right now for whatever reason. So I sign up on the side of it's 1-4. I'm not tanking for the NFL draft at that point. I simply can't do it based on the plan or whatever plan they went with, where they're staying competitive in 2023. It starts on the O-line. And guys, let's also just say this. This team is a competitive football team based on the defense and based on the veterans that they have offensively. But those guys have to be factors. The front seven yesterday on defense was not a storyline. Therefore, we saw what happened with the secondary. And then on the flip side, offensive line, the storyline, no veterans that stepped up on offense a week ago, Henry, Hopkins, Tannehill, there are others. You could say they didn't have a chance, but they weren't a part of that game either. And that's what's got to happen for the Titans to win games, period. And, you know, I think we get back on track, because typically whenever the negative talk comes out, all of a sudden they start playing well. Vrabel even mentioned a little bit of that yesterday in the postgame with the media, and just referencing how they've got to get back to, you know, fundamentals, and, you know, they're going to hear a lot of chatter, what have you. But following that, they've got Indy, and then we see them go to London. To your point, I see a team that when their back's against the wall, they return home and they're facing a team that, you know, is also reeling a bit. They should be better then. And they probably end up being extremely competitive and playing the way they did against the Chargers until the next elite defense rolls around and they make the Titans offensive line look inadequate. And this goes back to my original answer. The Titans' strength was always the run game and their offensive line on offense. They could go up against the best in the league, and if they didn't win the game, everyone came out bloodied. And there was only one group that did yesterday.
Real quick, before we let you go, Bill Belichick has commented on this. The biggest story in the NFL right now, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. She was at the game yesterday at Arrowhead. Your thoughts on the new power couple in sports and music?
I mean, who would have thought that a friendship bracelet could go this far?
Hey, it gives us all hope.
Will you accept this promise ring? That's the next thing. All of a sudden, mood rings are going to be back, Joe. I know Dubin's going to be so happy about that.
I expect this to be the massive major topic with you and Chad this afternoon.
You know, it will be, and I will have Chad wear his friendship bracelet I gave him 12 years ago.
Did you hear Belichick's comments this morning?
No, I haven't.
He went on the Greg Hill show in Boston and was asked about it. And he said, well, I would say that that Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be his biggest.
Oh, hey. I mean, the fact that he put his phone number on a friendship bracelet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then like, what was that, 2 months ago?
Yep.
Probably?
Yeah. Yeah.
So 2 months later, she's in a suite at Arrowhead with his mom. I mean,
it's amazing. It is the biggest. It has made today much more fun, and you have as well. Thanks as always, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, guys. Always enjoy this.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Weekdays 2 to 5, 94.9 The Fan joins us every Monday at 10:30. We will read some more texts, announce a winner, and get to celebrity birthdays to wrap things up. Next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
From the Swifties to get Travis Kelce a touchdown with Taylor in the house today?
Yeah, I heard she was in the house.
Did you feel it? Did you feel the pressure, Patrick?
I felt a little bit of pressure. And so I knew I had to get it to Trav. And, of course, it's on a route that Travis, he does his own thing and just makes up a route, and I throw it to him. So I think he wanted to get in the end zone just as much as all the Swifties wanted him to.
Makes up his own route, man. They're just out there having fun.
Patrick Mahomes yesterday, after their big win over the Bears, as Taylor Swift in the house. And, look, for those of you that have listened to me for a long time and going back to producing – Greg and Big Joe, I am a Swifty, and so some, you know, that Fridays especially, I would drop some Taylor Swift, and you'd laugh at me, and
we did laugh at you,
and that's okay.
It's okay,
but you know, so this is great. I am all for this, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, because it's going to give us hours of entertainment, and when it does crash and burn, we'll have even more.
Yeah,
and she'll drop an album, you know, about the man in red or something like that.
So, all right, so what was the our trivia, our not trivia, but our topic on the text line was,
So where do you think Travis Kelce took Taylor Swift to dinner last night? And we've had some answers that we can't read.
Many that we can't read.
Most of them.
Right.
So we will award a winner.
Okay.
I don't know who.
We'll do birthdays and we'll pick one after this.
Okay. This is from Greg. Let me read this real quick.
Okay.
Well, he didn't want to start their love story as the anti-hero, so he told her to grab a cardigan and forget the cruel summer. They rode a white horse, and he whispered sweet nothings in her ear. He knocked over the bottle and had champagne problems. You can call it what you want, but maybe he'll be fearless. You'll be your own. Be on your own, kid. That's well done working in the song titles.
Are those all Taylor Swift songs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe Greg wins.
That was pretty good. We need to discuss this
okay.
off the air
All right.
after the show. So we'll text the winner.
By the way, I need to buy you a riff.
What is riff?
Reading is fundamental.
Oh, thank you. I need my glasses. I need new glasses.
I
like
told that. You.
That. So you've gone from grandmother glasses to grandfather glasses.
I have. I'm maturing in my old age. I won't even take a stab at reading that
stuff. If we put a white beard on you, you got Santa. Like they're right there at the end of your nose.
I might
like,
just great. Let it go. Is yeah. there extra money in that for me going around town being a Santa?
I did. Ask Homer Simpson. He did it one time.
Yeah, but he did it to pay off a debt, though.
No, he did it because he didn't get his Christmas bonus.
That's right. Yeah, okay.
And he brought home Santa's little helper.
Because he went to the dog track and spit the money. Okay. I know gambling tied in there somehow.
Because Barty told him what to do. Right. Who to bet on, and he saw Santa's little helper. It's a sign!
Yep. He came in last.
We're going to wait till our dog finishes.
And then they
never mind.
Then they threw the dog out, and that's how he adopted it. All right, Dr. Crane, hit it, brother. All right, celebrity birthdays. We'll get to those really quick here. All right, you ready, guys? Here we go. Chase, you go first. Today's birthday, actor Michael Douglas. How old is Michael Douglas?
74.
62.
79. Mm. Oh, model Cheryl Teagues. We all had her poster on a wall growing up. Cheryl Teagues. Sports Illustrated model.
If you said you had, I mean, I know who she is.
62.
68.
76. Nice.
Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. How old is Mark Hamill today?
75.
83.
72. Guys are in the neighborhood, but not there. Actor Michael Madsen. He's really good in Reservoir Dogs.
61.
67.
65.
So that's one.
That is one. That's 2 years.
What'd you say?
I said
61. He said 67.
Yeah.
So that's two
my off. Bad. Thank you. I was already going to the next one. Good job, Dr. Crane.
Thanks.
Gosh, God. Need help on this. Actress Heather Locklear.
Oh, Melrose Place.
Married to
Tommy Lee, then
Richie Sambora.
Richie Sambora, yeah. Man, she's got to be like 64.
I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go 59.
61.
Mm, okay.
Dr.
Nice.
Crane. 2-0 today. Oh, Will Smith. Keep your birthday out of my mouth.
56.
I'm going to go 49.
55.
Boom. Oh,
there we go.
2-1, Dr. Crane. This is good. Here, we got some good stuff here. Oh, this is weird. Actress Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's married to Michael Douglas, also shares
a birthday.
Birthday?
That's funny. 59.
So do we have to do both or just one?
Well, I already did Michael Douglas. Okay. So.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I'm going to go, I don't know, 53?
54.
Nice. Okay.
Dr. Krant, 3-1. The great actor-rapper Donald Glover. How old is he today?
Is he related to Danny Glover?
He is not.
40.
I was going to say around like 38, but let's go 46.
40 exactly.
Boom.
3-2. Good job, Chaser. All right, here we go now. Let's see here. Potsy from Happy Days. How old's Potsy?
79.
Ooh, I'm going to go 74.
74 exactly.
Boom.
Got so. All right, Chase, you got to get the next one to keep it going. If not, we're going to move on. All right. Let's see.
The audience probably wants us to.
Actor Hal Sparks.
Who the hell is that?
He was in a couple TV shows.
When?
The 2000s.
47.
I'm going to go 56.
54. Yeah, Dr. Crane gets the swoosh, wins 5-2. Good Very job, nice. Everybody. All right, Chase, pick a winner. Not the 8-year-old Chase pick a winner, but the I picked a winner. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, no, I know.
sorry. That's terrible.
Okay, hang on. I gotta like go way back because I think I want to go with 5282 In-N-Out Burger.
Okay. All right, you win tickets. Well done. We'll get in touch with you. Thank you. Well done, everybody. You guys are fantastic on the text line today. Thank you.
Very good stuff. That will do it for us, but don't go anywhere. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they are coming up next. They'll have full reaction to Kelce and Swift and also the Titans' awful loss to the Cleveland Browns. And keep in mind, Predators pregame today, 12:30, doubleheader. The preseason opens as they take on the Florida Panthers. We're back at it tomorrow at 9, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.